Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
A lot of the talk around the Chicago Bulls offseason is how and where the Chicago Bulls can find a center, namely in this draft. But one of the things with the Chicago Bulls team is that they don't just need a starting caliber center. They need a specific type of center if they're going to make this offense and the way that they play work the best. I'll go more into detail and explain that on today's episode, as well as looking at one trade target, a couple of free agent targets, and draft targets that fit the mold of that type of center. Plus, Miles Mouzilis gets a Rookie of the Year vote. We'll talk about what that means and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to talk about this, right? So everybody kind of all agrees that the Chicago Bulls need a center, right? A new starting caliber center. And, you know, I want to explain on today's episode why a very specific type of center is needed. And I would compare other teams that play with a similar style to the Bulls and why that is, right? We've heard things like, you know, Danny Wolfe and some trading for Sabonis potentially and things like that. And I want to explain and kind of go into more detail on why those type of centers, like, they could work, right? It's not that they can't come in here and be effective, but if you want the best and optimize the way in your play style that fits the pieces that you already have here, you need a specific type of center, right? So let's talk about it, right? Teams that play fast and compete for playoffs typically have the type of big man that, or they have multiple, if that's when you really get into the least as they have multiple that can protect the rim, rebound, and run in transition, right? Now, some of those also have switchable bigs, right, that also can switch on to multiple players, right, that can switch on to guards, that can switch on to forwards, right, those type of things, right? The Chicago Bulls were second in the NBA in pace last year, right? They were second only behind the Memphis Grizzlies, with the Atlanta Hawks, Washington Wizards, OKC Thunder, all in the top five as far as pace, right? And when you look at that, let's start off with the Wizards, even though, you know, they're not, you know, a great team, right? You have Alex Saar there, who is a hugely athletic big man, right? When he was on the floor, though, the Washington Wizards were in the 99th percentile in terms of possessions started in transition, right? That's when he was on the court. Now, we'll see how that translates next year as they build the roster, kind of more around they were doing, right? But they were also tanking, so you can't really take a full gaze into them, right? But let's look at then Memphis. Memphis has three big man who are hugely part of their transition game. Brandon Clark being one of them, right? When he was healthy, was a really big part of that, and they were really effective when he was on the court. Zach Edey, who the way that he gets rebounds specifically and block shots was really good. And then they have kind of the do-it-all guy in Jaren Jackson Jr. I know the way that their season ended has brought in a lot of, you know, disappointment around Jaren Jackson Jr., understandably so. But when you look at what he did in the regular season, switching into multiple positions, shot blocking, right? The rebounding number wasn't great, but the rebounding rate was decent, right? But that defensive aspect, on-ball defense specifically, was a big part of him. When Clint Capela was on the floor for the Atlanta Hawks, and we all know Clint Capela's on the slide, they were in the 78th percentile as far as possessions generated that started in transition, right? You look at Trent Holmgren and what he did for the OKC Thunder team. We already know the way that he's able to get rebounds, get off and go, his defense. You also have Isaiah Hartenstein there as well, right? And then the Indiana Pacers. right? They were seventh in pace, right? And they had Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, who both can block shots, rebound, stretch the floor, and Pascal plays a little, they both play a little bit of defense, right? And so it's clear that one thing is there. If you are going to be a playoff team with playing a fast pace, you need a defensive-minded, athletic, or switchable, or damn near, like, the only one that you look at is not switchable, Zach Edey, right, in that list that we talked about. You need that type of big, right? Even going over to the Denver Nuggets, who are eighth in pace in the league, which they got Nikola Jokic there, and they're still eighth in pace, but you know why? Because they have Aaron Gordon, they have Michael Porter Jr., two guys also that could rebound, start the break, right? They usually give it off, they can finish it, right? And let's look at the Cavaliers. They were 10th in pace. They have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, two guys that also extremely good defensive bigs that can rebound, block shots, right? That can a lob threat in both of those guys as well. That I say all that to say this. It's not just about getting a center. And it's really not even just about getting a starting caliber center. When you play at the level and pace that the Chicago Bulls play, you need mobile, athletic bigs. That's what you need, right? And one could say that Manus Bousilis is a step in the right direction there. Absolutely. I personally would like to see Manus play more three next year, but we'll see what Billy Donovan does, right? But then when you start looking at the bench and the production, like the closest thing that we had to that, and he, let me be clear, he's not that, but the closest thing that we had to that last season was Zach Collins. When you look at Zach Collins, when he was on the basketball court for the Bulls, our defense was rated about 12th, right? And keep in mind, not even a great on-ball defender, but what does Zach Collins do? He guarded the five, the four, and when you look at his defensive stats, he guarded the three when he was here with the Chicago Bulls almost 26% of the time. That's not a huge margin at all, but it does show just having a big that can guard multiple positions does so much for your team when you're playing at a fast pace. That is important. That is really important. Now, how many bigs do the Bulls have of that? None. Right? Like I said, Zach Collins is the closest thing to that. I know people are going to try to bring in Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith is not a good on-ball defender. He's never really been a good on-ball defender. He doesn't shape up to be a good on-ball defender, but he can get out in transition. He can rebound. He can stretch the floor with threes. Those are important things in that case. He's just inconsistent in that. So let's say you got two, right? You got Modest. You got Jalen Smith. You got Zach Collins, who can do a little bit of it. He showed in a short spurt that he can do a little bit of it. Okay, you got those three guys, right? But are they the caliber of player that you need if you're going to be this quick, fast-paced team as well as competing for the playoffs? Because that should be the goal here for the Chicago Bulls next season. Go further than what you did before, right? You need those types of bigs. So how do the Bulls acquire those type of bigs? Well, let's take a look. Let's look at the free agent class. Let's look at the center class in the free agency, right? The only starting caliber bigs, and if there's question on that, Brooke Lopez, which he looks like he's on the slide. Can you even really call him still a starting caliber big? You got Clint Capella, who I think in the right situation can still be starting caliber. You just aren't going to look for a lot of them other than shot blocking, rebounding, and catching some lobs sometimes. Okay. You got Miles Turner, right? Those are the three starting caliber bigs. Miles Turner is a guy that a lot of Bulls fans have brought up, and I can understand it there, right? Like, I think also with the Bulls, they have $19 million in cap space after they're assuming they re-sign Josh Giddey and after drafting their first-round pick. But then you got Miles Turner there, right, who can play. He is a switchable big, not necessarily the best defensively, but has some of that you definitely look at. And maybe he's a guy there, right, for the Bulls. Maybe the Bulls do look at Miles Turner and say, hey, if we can't get and the one thing about the NBA, right, is that the draft comes before free agency. Unlike it, you know, in the NFL, it's the other way around, right? So if the Bulls don't get to get their big man in the draft, right? And let's say they get a Rashear Fleming who plays four, right? Let's say they do. I'm just using that name, right? I know Rashear Fleming may even eventually be a small ball five, but let's say that's what you get, right? Then maybe you do go out and supplement that. Now you have Rashear Fleming, you got Modest Bousilis. Maybe you go out there and try to get a Miles Turner. Now, I do think the Pacers are going to be really trying to keep him, but Miles Turner, as a defender, when he was on the court, team scored a negative 3.4 points per possession. So 3.4 points per possession, worse than what they did when he was off the court. They also shot a worse effective field goal shooting percentage. Turnovers went up for the other teams, right? And you know, their offensive rebounding and rebounding numbers went down because, again, Miles Turner is a good, solid defender. I think there's some times where His defense can be a little bit overblown. But all right, let's say, so bam, Miles Turner. That's your probably your best free agent option out there center-wise, right? As far as starting caliber centers. When you look at some of the bench reserve bigs that could be in there, Luke Kornet, we've had that. I don't think that that's going to work here. I think he works there because of in Boston because of he's not asked to do a lot. Da'Ron Sharpe, 23 years old. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer in Da'Ron Sharpe, but do you want him to be your starting center going into next year? 24-year-old Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes started for the Lakers. The defensive rating is actually pretty good when he's on the court, but then when you see him against bigger bigs, you realize that's not really, you don't really want that. As he's more of a reserve caliber big. So let's just say out of the free agent options, you got Miles Turner, Da'Ron Sharpe, Jackson Hayes. Miles Turner, you may not be able to get. It could be a bidding war. Again, we got $19 million in cap space. Unless we work out a sign and trade or trade another player without really taking much back, that may not fit. The players that are in the Bulls' salary range and Da'Ron Sharpe, Jackson Hayes, that also fit our style of play, are though, do you feel confident about them being your starter and caliber center, right? Let's look at the draft, right? Now, the draft is something that you don't have a lot of control over. You just don't, right? And while people are talking about players like a Derrick Queen, who is okay defensively, he's active defensively, which I've said many times before, that points to being a pretty good base there. If you have a guy that's not necessarily the best on-ball defender, but is giving a big effort when it comes down to that, you usually can work that to become a solid, right, defender when it comes down to it. But is he going to be extremely switchable at the next level? That remains to be seen, right? Now, offensively, we all know what he can bring offensively. There's not really any questions about that. Block-wise, he averaged 1.1 blocks per game, 1.1 steals per game, but he has that below-the-rim center game. He's 6'10", 246 pounds. Some people even question if he's more 6'9 than 6'10". I think he's a legit 6'10", personally. So you got Derrick Queen. We don't know for sure if he's even going to fall to the Chicago Bulls. He can very well rise up, right? You got guys like Thomas Sorber, who definitely is a defensive presence for the Chicago Bulls. I think he does bring the shot blocking, the wingspan, all that's really good for him. Like I said, Rashear Fleming, depending on how you want to look at him, I think one of the biggest concerns with him is that you actually find out that his best position is center. But then again, 7'5 wingspan, 6'9, a guy that has the defensive motor, he has the quickness, he has the footwork, all those type of things. But then there's some questions on, well, he played with a shot blocking big, and how much did that help inflate the blocks that he was able to get, right? Legitimate questions there. But as a prospect that, you know, is more of a below the rim center, but still has some really good athleticism when it comes down to it, you know, I think that his upside is at the four, which means that, again, I'm not mad if the Bulls pick Rashear Fleming, but we're talking about center prospects here. I hope that Rashear Fleming is a four, right? And then in that case, you got Modest, you got Rashear Fleming. Okay, maybe then it does make it a little bit more feasible that then in offseason, you go and sign a guy like Jackson Hayes. You take a flyer on a guy like Da'Ron Sharpe, right? Because you got Modest, you got Rashear Fleming, both solid shot blockers in their own right. Rashear Fleming, amazing shot blocker, especially with weak side defense. And then maybe you hope that you get that, right? You can maybe not have a has to be the uber starting caliber center because they can get starter level production based off where your team is. Okay, cool. If you can get that, if Rashear Fleming's your guy, which again, I'm not.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mad at the pick of Rashear Fleming. You get that. Ace Newell kind of fits that. There's some legitimate questions about his size, right? Shout out to my boy Vaughn on that. But I think his the switchability there, the shot blocking there, the rebounding, a little bit questionable, but I think he's going to have to add to his frame. I think that'll make him a more solid rebounder. Keep in mind, I'm talking about the knocks here again because Ace Newell is one of the guys that I absolutely hope that the Bulls draft, but I'm not going to just be a front runner there. There are some legitimate concerns. He has to add strength at the NBA level, right? Now, the transition game, no doubt about that. He can get out and run with this Bulls team, but some doubt about his size, right? There's some doubt about his ability to score. The defender, people feel pretty confident. Rebounder, he's going to be pretty damn good at. Shot blocking, he's going to be pretty good at. That lack of strength, though, is going to bring some big concerns when it comes down to that, right? So we'll see what happens there. But, okay, so another guy, Ace Newell, potentially in the draft, right? That could work out for the Chicago Bulls. But guess what? People were talking about Danny Wolf. He doesn't fit that mold at all. Danny Wolf would be more so keeping what we have going with Vooch right now and having a younger and hopefully a player with more upside on it that can fit in a little bit better, but it's still not switchable, not really great in transition, not the best passer. He's solid in passing, but not the best passer. Ace Newell's not the best passer either, though, so there goes that one on that, right? Kaman Maluwa. Now, that's where you get into the thing at. Now, Kaman doesn't really fit a lot of what we talked about there. Doesn't project to be overly switchable at the NBA level. Projects to be a really good rebounder. A threat to stretch the floor. Maybe, maybe not. There's been some back and forth on his shot and how well that's going to be, right? But rim protection, absolutely. The ability to run, a rim runner, really good there. Transition a little. He's a very smart player when it comes down to it, right? His conditioning hasn't been the best, but that's something that you hope with getting with NBA, you know, coaches and things like that. You work on that, right? So there's that when it comes down to it, right? He does score in transition in a really good rate. He's a lob threat, right? I'm not saying that Kaman Maluwa is the best option for the Chicago Bulls there. But I'll tell you what, a 7'2 wingspan, I'm sorry, 7'5 wingspan, 7'2 frame, tremendous upside. The question when it comes to Kaman is that floor. How that floor could be very low when it comes down to it, right? And in his game, he was reduced to being a specialist in college mainly because of the other players that they had on that team, right? But he has really good form on his shot. His free throw shooting percentage is decent at 76%, right? So he can work on that when it comes down to it. But those blocks, that's where it really want to come down to, right? Now, the blocks are a little bit low considering his frame and his length, but he projects to be that for the Bulls, right? So the Bulls have options in free agency. They have options in the draft. What about trading? And this gets me to the place that a lot of Bulls fans have asked about the potential of trading for Mark Williams, right? Now, I want to take a look. Mark Williams, right? He's averaged 15.3 points per game, 10.2 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1.2 blocks per game, right? Last season. The downside to Mark Williams, though, is that he's only played 106 games over three seasons. And part of the reason he's not a Laker is because he was sent back due to a failed physical. Now, there's been some questions on was a legitimate failed physical or were the Lakers trying to find ways to get out of that deal? It's not on me. I'm not here to talk about that aspect of it, right? So, but at 23 years old, he fits the mold of a young player with experience. He does free up, let's say, that way you can take best player available, right? Let's say you want to take a Rashear Fleming. You want to take whoever. Like, name your non-straight-up center option on the board. Does Mark Williams give you enough of that? The question is can he stay on the court enough? Now, I have my own personal thoughts on I don't really want to see a trade for a player with huge injury concerns because it never really works out for the Bulls. That's just my own standpoint. But on the court, when he's actually able to be on the court, Mark Williams basically brings everything that we just talked about that you want. The problem is how much of it are you going to get from him, right? Now, he has 1 year left on his rookie scale deal, so you'd be putting yourself in basically a Josh Giddey-type situation where you got to make a decision for him at the end of the season whether you're going to extend him or not, right? But there is upside there, and I'm not going to act like there isn't upside. The question is, would it take to get him, right? This is a guy that's started 77 games and only 106 games played in 3 years. So what would it take to get him? I think we got to look at what the Lakers offered. They offered Dalton Kincaid, who was an older rookie, Cam Reddish, who was just basically salary cap filler, a 2030 first round pick swap, and a 2030 unprotected first rounder. Now, I want to look at what could the Bulls offer that's similar to that package, right? Now, I think our pieces are younger, but let's just say you can offer Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry, a 2030 first round pick swap, and an unprotected pick in 2031. Hopefully by 2031, the Bulls are a perennial playoff team at the bare minimum, and that pick's not there. That is the closest that you can get to what the Lakers offered, right? Now, theoretically, you can add in Ayo Dosunmu, but then again, that's where it gets to the place of, if we're throwing in Ayo to get Mark Williams, first of all, no. Second of all, you better be giving us a pick if that's the case, right? Because Ayo next to LaMelo Ball and between that and Brandon Miller is potentially exactly what they need as a defender. So you better be giving us the pick in that case, right? So I'm not willing to trade Ayo Dosunmu for Mark Williams. If Mark Williams was a more healthy center with the numbers that he averaged last year, then maybe, right? But the closest proximity that we can get to the Lakers trade for me is Julian, Dalen, 2030 first round pick, and an unprotected pick in 2031. I said unprotected. It's a first round pick swap in 2030. And that could end up coming out on the side of the Bulls. But that's the closest that I'm willing to offer to that. Does that get you Mark Williams? And then is that a package that you're willing to part with? You're still getting a first-round pick in 2030, right? You may even be able to keep your own because it may be worse than the Charlotte's pick. And then you're losing. So you're basically losing Dalen Terry heading into his fourth year? You're giving up Julian Phillips heading into his third year for Mark Williams, who, when he's on the court, brings a lot of what you need, right? Now, if you get a Rashear Fleming in the draft, you get Boyles in the draft, right? You get those guys. Maybe you're not as hung up on losing Julian Phillips. Maybe, right? So that's really what it comes down to, I think, when you're looking at this. You have to look at what it takes to give up and where you can get that type of center is. But make no mistake about it. I say all this to say that with the way that the Bulls play, especially if they're invested in a backcourt of Kobe and Josh Giddey, they have to have a very particular type of center there. Now, if they move off of Kobe, get more of a defensive or a two-way player there, maybe that changes that. Again, I don't want to see the move off of Kobe, but maybe that changes that there. So there are some things that you can do, but really with the way that the Bulls have played, with their roster, they've putting themselves into a place where you need a particular center there. Will you go out and get that center this year? That's one of the biggest questions. We'll see if the Bulls go out there and get that. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. Now, you guys know we've been doing our player grades on this season. This offseason, I have to say. Yesterday, we talked about Kevin Huerter was somebody that we acquired at the trade deadline, right? We've already talked about Patrick Williams. I want to talk about Julian Phillips, who we just mentioned as a potential trade package. Julian Phillips came into the season, right? And at the early part of the season, he was actually one of the first players off the bench for the Bulls, right? Then even after Patrick Williams got benched, that we saw at times that Julian Phillips came off the bench before P. Will end up finishing more with more minutes than him sometimes, but it is what it is. The first month of the season, he averaged 13.8 minutes per game. Second, 13.7, right? So he stayed around that area, but he still only offered 4.6, 4.3 points per game in both those scenarios and areas, right? Julian was a player that got a lot more minutes this year, and we all kind of expected that, especially after how he was trending upwards in minutes played towards the end of last season, but he still finished with averages of 4.6 points, 2.1 rebounds, and 44% shooting from the field. Defense was decent at times. It was very inconsistent. Now, we knew that Julian, he was a second-round pick. We knew he was going to be raw, right? And in judging that based off that, like, Julian played okay at times. Would I have liked to see him have a longer leash to kind of work through his minutes at times? Yes. And that comes down to how Billy Donovan plays his bench rotation. It lacks there sometimes. The most minutes that Julian Phillips averaged this year came in March, where he averaged 17 minutes per game, but still gave 4.3 points on 41% shooting from the field, 28% shooting from three. Julian is a player that has a lot. He just needs to polish off his game. But there's a lot of potential still there in Julian, still only being 21 years old. The question is Billy Donovan going to allow him the leash to work through those things? And that's the question. But that's a question on coaching, not a question on Julian, right? But I can't give, the production is what it is. There are times where he wasn't getting played. And so because of that, like, can you grade him higher than a C? I think a C on a curve is an A for him in this case. But then when you look at Julian and some of the turnovers at times, right? You look at some of the missed defensive assignments at times, right? You look at the on-ball defense, which had flashes, but then wasn't the best either. Like, Julian is a guy that has shown a little bit of everything, but hasn't put it all together. And if he ever does put it together, watch out. The Bulls can have them a player there. And so in that, I'm going to judge him a C minus here. And that's for the expectation of a back of the end of the bench player, right? But then again, he was getting six man, like he was coming off the bench first in some cases, especially after Io went down. But I mean, D is probably the way I need to go here. I'll give him the C minus because there were still some flashes there. And I do think young players need a leash sometimes to be able to work it out. We saw it with Modest, right? When Modest was only playing 12 minutes here and there, we saw some flashes, but once he started getting the consistent 14, 15, 16, that's when we really started seeing him work through those things. And then I just think we need to see a little bit more from Julian. That's my personal opinion. You guys can let me know how you feel down below. Now, last topic before we go, Modest Bouzilis got one third-place vote for Rookie of the Year. Shout out to Modest Bouzilis for getting that. And it's led many people to blame Billy Donovan for not playing him more early to where he didn't get more votes. And yeah, that's a valid thing, right? But I think overall, and what we're seeing is that we are seeing that that people are starting to recognize who and what Modest Bouzilis can be. And him coming into next season as the starter, that's going to be where you really see a lot from Modest Bouzilis, especially if he's relied on to do more offensively. So I just want to spend some time, a little bit of time, giving Modest Bouzilis his flowers for getting a third-place Rookie of the Year vote and for finishing the season really strong. And he finished the season as one of the best rookies. Stephon Castle went on to win Rookie of the Year. I do think that's warranted. It is what it is there. But Modest, man, he played really well. And things are looking up for Modest. And don't let the third-place rookie or not being higher up in the Rookie of the Year voting make anybody realize Modest Bouzilis, when a starter, was one of the best rookies of the 2024-25 season. I can't wait to see what he does in 25-26. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.